Welcome to Allison's Wonderland. I'm your host, Allison Packard. Join us as we journey through the looking glass and down the rabbit hole into the wild and wonderful world of animation and video games. Hey, do a girl a favor and please subscribe to this podcast and go on iTunes and leave us a good review. If you like the show, please help spread the word. It really helps us to get heard by more people. Thanks so much. Oh, and we're rolling. Welcome back, everybody, to Allison's Wonderland, the show that takes you inside the world of animation and video games and more. Actually, we're kind of expanding to include television actresses and internet content creators. And today's guest is Milana Weintraub, who you definitely know as the actress behind the AT&T girl, Lily Adams. But I don't know if you know, Milana's also a commercial director. She's a writer. She directs short films. She's an activist and an all-around amazing person. Give her a warm welcome, everybody, as if you're in the room with us right now.
Do it. Do it. I want to hear it.
If I don't hear you at home on your YouTube. Hi, Milana.
Hi.
How's it going? Hi.
Oh, you know, it's a wild time to be alive.
Oh, yeah.
It's a real week. Wild time. Oh, yeah.
What a week.
Don't you know? It's been a week. It's been a wild time to be a Jew. Wild time to be a mom. Wild time. But grateful to be alive and grateful to have cute friends like you who host podcasts.
I am having the most insane deja vu right now. Like double, triple deja vu. Have you ever had where you're like, I think I had deja vu of this moment and also telling you I was having deja vu of this moment.
Like I've had deja vu like that.
Yes, talking about the world and whoa, that went. Are we living multiple lives right now?
I think so. You want to get into that?
We're in the
You want to get into that real quick? Casual drop of parallel lives. Maybe. Maybe this is an assimilation, but truly, is it assimilation? Maybe this is simulation. But anytime I talk about anything even remotely simulation-like, I get so stressed out by the possibility of me not being in control.
Yeah, well.
Which is what the simulation controllers want me to feel.
Define you.
Define me, right?
Maybe where we us. The them.
And so the mushrooms are hitting for you too then now, right? Okay, good.
We just decided we were going to microdose at the exact same time.
You microdosed?
Oh!
Say micro? I didn't hear micro.
I'm trying to think back to the first time we ever met.
Oh. I don't know. One of the memories I think that's coming to mind is at, what's that Burning Man adjacent event?
Bequinox?
Bequinox.
That's what it was.
I don't know if we met there, but I think that's when you like established a presence in my life.
You had on a cheerleading costume.
So did you.
Camp mascot cheerleading costume. Oh yeah, I guess.
I think we were all doing like camp us.
Yeah, except for my husband Jason, who was in a wrestling singlet.
That sounds right. Yeah. Oh wait, actually, I think it was a moment before that, which was maybe 4th of July weekend when Iran and a bunch of friends rented a house. Because I remember doing acro with you guys, but I feel like that couldn't have been the first time I met
you. That I was originally not going to go to that trip. I forget there was something going on that weekend. And then do you remember that I just decided, hey, I'm going to come and surprise everybody.
And then I do remember that. That was the best.
And then I rented that Gumby costume.
Yes. And nobody knew who you were.
Showed up at the door, just knocked on the door, was like,
we just thought like somebody hired a Gumby performer to show up for all of these adults. And we were like, hell yeah, to whoever did this. We thought there was just going to be a total stranger inside.
There was 12 people at the party, so everybody kept saying, did you order it? Did you order it? Nobody knew who the surprise was. I just organized it with one of the people that was there. And
brilliant.
Yeah. And then I took off my head and people lost it.
That was so brilliant. What an incredible party spirit you have.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
do you know what I mean by that?
Identity. Now it's like an early bedtime kind of spirit.
Yeah, that'll happen. That'll happen with time and children. Or just a child. Okay. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yes, right.
But I do really think there's like, you know, some people got the party spirit. Sorry, can you tell? I'm literally reading a book on potty training right now. It's like pouring out of my mouth. Oh, some people got the potty spirit and some don't. Thank you.
God love you, girl.
I know. It's about to be a real shitstorm, literally. But yeah, I feel like some people know how to party and some people go to parties. And you know how to party. You know how to throw a party. You know, like, the energy that a party needs to have. And part of that energy is delightful surprises, which you are, you and your husband are very good at.
Wow, that's, you could really, you could write a book on this. Delightful surprises, for sure.
Delightful surprises. Festive. Allison Packner story.
Festive drinks, festive bites. Yes. There is an art to the party. There's actually a book about the art of partying. I started to read it, but
yeah, The Art of Gathering.
Mm-hmm. Did you read that?
I have
it. Yelena recommended that book. I have it on my bookshelf, too. Sitting there.
So that's
looks
like
great.
Reading it. That's the same. That's the same.
Yeah. I'm keeping it. It takes up space. So one day.
Got a lot of bookshelves. Yeah. What am I going to do? Not fill them with books that make me look impressive?
Well,
actually,
you know,
it's my husband's book. And to be fair, he did read it. So that makes it even closer to me reading it without reading it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because then he can tell you all about it.
Then he could be the one who does the art of gathering and I could be the attendee, which is actually all I'm designed to be. I'm not a party thrower by nature.
But I think you're a party...
attender.
But more than that, a community rabble rouser.
Oh, that's a good name for a book or just a Burning Man name. Rabble rouser.
Rabble rouser.
What makes you say that?
I think that you have convictions that are beautiful and strong, and you bring that to the party while remaining an incredibly open and compassionate person, which I think is a delicate balance. I think sometimes when people have very strong convictions, they tend to close themselves off to other thoughts and ways of being. And you have always proven yourself to be very compassionate and open-minded, too.
Well, I feel both incredibly honored and very seen. Thank you. Oh, that's very nice.
You know, I actually first reached out to do an interview with you probably like a year ago. And it was, you had posted an interview that you did and I haven't been able to find it since. I was like trying to go back on your Instagram. I'm like, did I pass it? I feel like the interview that you did where you confronted your online bully, your cyber bully. Was that an NPR thing? Is it?
It was a podcast hosted by Dylan Marin called Conversations with People Who Hate Me.
That was, wow, that was mind blowing.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Do you want to tell our audience a little bit about
the
setup?
Sure. So, you know, I'm a woman with a body on the internet, and some people didn't like that and started sending all sorts of harassing comments and messages and emails, death threats, finding out where my family lives, doing all sorts of stupid, stupid things. And it was peak COVID. So, you know, if you can remember that time, I mean, early COVID, this is like August, September, October of COVID. So it was like of 2020. So the internet was kind of all we had. It felt like it was like how we're seeing our friends, how we're getting our news. So when things were happening online, to me, it really felt like it was happening in my life. And it felt like a really big deal. Now, when I look back on it, I'm like, I wonder if I would have been able to compartmentalize that better. But at the time, it was really, really affecting me, which I think is fair. And there was this one guy who wrote me multiple messages. And I usually don't look at my messages from people. I don't even get my messages from people who I don't follow because there's so many and there's sometimes really disturbing. And so that's a way of self-protection, is like, I'm here to have conversations with people who I know have my best intention at heart, and I'm not really willing to gamble with that. But at the time, because I was receiving so many violent messages, I felt like I needed to know what was coming at me. So I started reading the messages from other people, which probably didn't help my mental health. And there was this one guy who would comment on, like, was particularly, I felt like, triggered by me having a political opinion. And also, you know, would still use, like, derogatory, gendered insults. And I really tried to understand him. Like, so I clicked on his profile because now I'm just curious, like, who could say things like this to somebody they don't know? And I click on his profile and I see he's, like, kind of a young kid and he has, like, other girls or women in his pictures. The reason I responded to him specifically was because it felt like he could see women as people. Like, there are so many accounts that just post memes or, you know, sports or violence or whatever. And this guy seemed like a real person who sees female people as people. So I wrote him back. We had a little bit of a conversation. It didn't seem like I could get through to him in any way, but I, you know, thought it was interesting. And then when Dylan Marin approached me to do this podcast, I was like, well, there are a few people that, you know, because I really want to understand. It's part of like what you said about me at the beginning. Like, I do have very strong convictions. And one of them is like, you don't send borderline violent messages to people you don't know, or even honestly to people you do know. Violence in any way is wrong. But that was part of it. And yet the empathetic part of me is like, I really want to understand what you're getting out of this, what you're missing in your life. And ultimately, through this conversation that we had online, I learned a lot more about like just bully mentality and loneliness and the oneness that people can feel when they are ganging up on somebody together, and how that makes them feel like they are bigger than themselves because they're a part of a community. And even though like nothing actually changes in their lives, I think, again, because it was COVID and the internet felt like it was such a radical force in our lives, it gave people that. Not that they don't gang up on people pre-COVID and post-COVID. But yeah, I did. And ultimately, I do think I have compassion for him. Like, I think he did something that was really brave by going on there and talking to me about it. And, you know, I don't know how much he understood. I was also pregnant at the time and he didn't know that I was pregnant. And some of the comments about my body and specifically, like, nah, I don't want to even get into the specifics. Yeah, yeah. I don't want to give him any credit. But like, you know, when you're pregnant, it's so different. Like the comment that your body feels like your family. And so like the comments, like specifically that started to feel like there was so much more to protect than just myself. And at the same time, I also kind of like went away a little bit in terms of my activism because I wanted to just leave my cortisol levels down. You know, I was like, I am down to take the activist hit on this. Like, I am down to do the legwork. I don't know that my baby needs to do the legwork. So yeah, it was a really interesting time. But that episode, I mean, his whole podcast series is fascinating because he really is about the series as a whole is really about trying to get us to understand each other. And I do think I understand him more now.
I mean, I definitely did coming into it. And I think he said something about how like he didn't that almost, in his opinion, you had signed up for it by being a public figure. You'd signed up for opening yourself up to judgment from others. And I thought that was so interesting because there is a certain level of like opening up a People magazine and like, who wore it better? Like, you would never do that to your friends, but it's okay if someone's in the public figure to be like, no, that one, Milana wore it better, you know? Yeah, like,
I don't like the way Rihanna looks in that. It's like, what the fuck, you know?
Yeah,
I think, like, well, the other thing was that he was confused about why I would care. Why do you care what people are saying about you? Like, you have this level of, you know, fill in the blank, whatever. You have this thing that I don't have. So why do you care what me, a schmuck, says? And I think that was part of the bigger confusion for me. And still, I don't fully understand is this separation that people can have from each other, that this person is less human. You know, speaking of Rihanna, who just randomly popped into my head, I thought of this. I saw this image of her at a Lakers game, and she's, or some sports game, and she's, basketball game, she's walking and she sees she's just walking on the court, like she's maybe just walking to her seat or walking to go get a Coke, I don't know, but there, every single person around her is taking a photo of her. And I just thought, like, wow, what fucking shitty existence. Like, yeah, you know what, if that were me, I would also not put out another album. Like, if that were me, I would also just like ride along on my sweet life and not feel like I owe anybody anything. And it's the separation of like, of thinking that people who do some kind of job are not human. That really breaks my heart. And it actually, like, just to, you know, talk about any kind of war, any kind of strife in the world, is like, it's our ability to say that that person is in some category, put whatever label, you know, you want on it. And because of that, they no longer have personhood. They are no longer human to me. I can now dismiss them as other, and I do not need to care about them.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of the idea of like the monkey sphere?
No.
That you can only, as a human being, because we grew up in these small tribes, we have about 200 people that we can have in our monkey sphere that are people we can care about. If they hurt, if they get hurt, if they die, we can physically, you know, experience them as being part of our tribe. And then beyond that, that's why sometimes if there's an earthquake in Malaysia, it's less upsetting to you than your neighbor's dog dies or something. Mm-hmm. If you're not Malaysian, or, you know, if it's somewhere that doesn't concern you or your tribe, which is really interesting, because then we have this idea of celebrity kind of taking the place of people in our tribe.
Mm.
Or we feel that these public figures are our friends or people on TikTok. And yeah, that's, I don't think we were ever supposed to really like
know this much.
This much. Too much.
100%. We know way too much. Yeah. I think the monkey sphere is interesting.
How are you like coping with everything? How are you staying sane amidst as someone who has such a big heart?
That's a nice way to put it. I am listening a lot and having a lot of conversations with people who I think are smarter than me. And my husband has told me to stop saying that, but I really like, you know, have different kinds of smarts than me, and admitting what I don't know and looking at intent versus impact. Like, I have an intention to be XYZ, and what impact could that have? And so really trying to move forward consciously in terms of impact. So like there are other issues before for me that I felt really important to speak up about because there was a fundraising goal that needed to be met, or there are certain politicians that you could call to pressure to do something. And that was very intentful and had a lot of impact. And then with this, because there is so little room for nuance on the internet, it has felt like I have to be really careful about my intent and my impact. But in terms of like the way that I am dealing with it is I am in a lot of pain and I feel a lot of heartbreak for my Muslim friends and my Jewish friends. And my heart breaks every time I see an act of Islamophobia or an act of anti-Semitism. And the thing that's like, you know, particularly confusing is that I feel it a deep ancestral connection to my Judaism. Like when I hear a rabbi sing, I cry. I don't know why. Is something wrong with it today? Is everyone else feeling this way? Like I feel deeply moved by the history of my people. And yet when I see what's happening in so many parts of the world, I feel like those are my people too. Mm-hmm. I'm moved by this. I am hurt by this pain, and I am hurt by this pain, and I am hurt by this pain. So it's it's stunning and it's scary. And yeah, I don't know how I'm getting by. I don't have any advice or anything useful to say besides like, try to remember that these are people and that countries do not always represent that governments do not always represent the actions of their people. And that, I mean, honestly, that countries don't represent people generally. So it's heartbreaking and confusing and so not easy to talk about.
Yeah.
What about you? How are you dealing with it?
You know, I think connecting back to family is one way, sometimes making my world very tiny for a while. It just within my home, within my family, and just like really focusing on what's there in front of me right now and the things that I can't have an impact over. Because I think one of the challenges is feeling like, how do we make a difference? But you know, you actually, segue, Can't Do Nothing is a nonprofit that you started. Are you still
actually, it's not a nonprofit. It was never a nonprofit. It was just a group, really. It was more of a movement, sure. And really, it was just a platform to raise money for other nonprofits, to raise awareness, to help people share their time, their money, or their voice, specifically to help victims and refugees of the Syrian war. And yeah, so yes, please keep continue.
Yeah. Oh, is Can't Do Nothing still active? Are you guys?
Can't Do Nothing is not still active, unfortunately. It was, you know, a very small operation, and it was a project to build first aid centers, raise money for schools, and buy buses. And the mission that we set, we accomplished. And then I realized that running a nonprofit is a really hard thing for somebody who also wants to act, direct, write, and be a fool professionally, which is really what I'm designed to do. I think there are a lot of very skillful people who can run nonprofits, and I am a clown.
So you just have a new short film out too, Pickled Herring. And what can you tell us about that? Because it's doing the festival circuit right now, and I can't wait to go see it.
Oh, thanks. It's great. Yeah, I'm really proud of it. It's a film that came up with my friend Marina Shifrin, who's an incredible comedy writer. And we both have these ridiculous Soviet dads. And when she would tell me stories about her dad, I'd be like, that's so weird. My dad does the same thing. Does your dad do this? And then we would just share stories back and forth. And realize that there's a commonality in our stories, even though, you know, we were raised in different places by different people. And we came up with this short film that we're really excited about, where we get to introduce the world to our dads and have a lot of fun with it. So yes, it's this very funny story about a girl who gets in a very embarrassing accident. And so her father comes to help her and fix everything in her house except their relationship.
Yeah, that's very relatable for sure. And are there any festivals that's coming up?
Yeah, we have the Ojai Film Festival coming up in like a week. And the Santa Clarita Film Festival. And
oh, what's the date of that one? Another one.
I don't remember.
I'll have to look it up. I'll see if I can post it. Maybe somebody can look it up and post it on the show notes. Yeah, that's so cool. And you are acting and you direct it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How's that process? And actually, maybe we should even take it back to kind of like AT&T pandemic and kind of how it came about that you started directing.
Hey guys, this is Allison Packard. Sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to let you know that if you like the show, please, please, please remember to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review on iTunes. It really helps us to get heard by more people. Thanks so much.
Okay. I started directing in college. My school had a wonderful theater program and gave us the opportunity to direct plays. And so I started doing that and I totally fell in love with it, and then got the opportunity to assistant direct theater directors. And I did a little bit of that until I realized, and I did it in New York until I realized I couldn't afford to live in New York and came back to LA, and then was very confused by this world of like asking for permission to do things. And so I was like, I'm just going to do it myself. And I made a web series that I directed most of called Let's Talk About Something More Interesting, and then was able to...
As soon as you said that, the theme song just popped into my head.
Let's talk about something more interesting. And so we were able to like sell that show to MTV as a pilot. Never got made, but that was kind of where I like learned about editing and TV and a little bit about that business, and then kept making things for the internet. So I, you know, made a documentary and a music video with my friend Sammy Cohen, and made some ads that were like available to me, and then got signed to a production company to direct commercials for them. And then, you know, while I was doing Lily 1.0, which was like 2013 to 2016 or something. Then
not even that long ago,
it ended. And then I kept directing commercials for all sorts of brands and music, but you know, whatever sketches, anything anybody would ever let me do, and anything I could ever like compile myself to do. And then at the beginning of the pandemic, when everyone was trying to figure out if we're ever going to work again and how set will work with all of these new parameters and what our future looks like and how long lockdown will be and all of these unknowns, my producer at the production company named Caleb Dewart, who I love and owe a lot to, was like, what do you got? Like, what can we do? What ideas do you have? And I was like, I have all of these stupid ideas. And he's like, no. What do you have that makes money? We're a production company. And I was like, I don't know. And so we came up with this idea of pitching something where Lily comes back and she works at home. And because I had all this experience of filming myself and setting up multiple cameras from my web series days, I was basically like, hey, we'll do that at my house. We'll run four cameras at the same time, and it'll just be me and my husband, who wasn't my husband at the time yet, but that's how I really got him. I was like, oh, wait till he sees Lily. Then he's really going to want to bag this. So we like pitched this idea. They came back and said, sure, let's try it. And then we did a few at home and then a few more. And then the world, you know, slowly started to come back, and we were in a studio, and we did that for a few years all through my pregnancy. And yeah, and still, you know, still
because
going
prior strong. To that, Lily was kind of not, was she still appearing in the commercials, or did she kind of like go away and then come back because of your pitch?
Yeah, she was gone. Lily was in a coma for many years.
Oh my God. I mean, I feel like a lot of people don't know that. That's so amazing.
Yeah, it was cool.
So, I mean, what's next with directing, acting? Is it all the things? Is there any projects that you're working on or that have your heart?
I really like directing commercials, and I'm in a really good place with it. And I know a lot of commercial directors who want to do other things, and I know a lot of other directors who want to do commercials. And I think part of the secret to happiness is wanting what you have. And I really, I'm really into this. So it's very fun. It's a great job for a mom of a kid, of like a little kid. And I love the people I get to work with. I love casting and working with actors and editing. And like, I feel like I get better every time and I'm learning so much. And I just, it's a great, great joy for me. And there's also a part of me that wants to tell bigger stories. So if that happens, great. And then in terms of acting, I am actually like really uninterested in being a famous person. I have like seen the shit end of it and I am good. I would like to keep being a working person. I really enjoy the craft. So in a perfect world, I'd be like number like 7 on a call sheet. I'd be like the kooky neighbor who like pops in and says a stupid line and pops out, like dream, you know, some kind of like comedy world where I get to improvise and play. That would be great. But yeah, I don't really have like big lofty goals. I think if you would have talked to me 10 years ago, I would be like, I'm running an empire. I want to have my own perfume and my own clothing line and my own album. And I don't care if I can't sing, I'll figure it out. But now I really just like, I'm enjoying a life with my family and my friends. And I still have yet to find a hobby. I have no hobbies, but I'm working on it.
Hobby?
Not right now. Like, I think my son is my hobby right now.
Are you taking future hobby pitches?
Oh, yes.
Okay. GIMP. It's very fun.
What is that?
GIMP. Oh, it's like this like plastic thing. You don't remember? Do you ever do it in summer camp? You can make bracelets out of it, necklaces.
Oh, like lanyards?
Not like lanyards. It's like this long plastic that you braid into different designs. It's similar to friendship bracelet making. And then the great thing about that is you can give it to your friends.
I do love giving people things.
I do too.
I know you do, because you gave me your bridal crown.
That's right.
That was so incredibly generous. Yes, you let me borrow it and I promise to return it. It's in a safe place.
Well, now I know its location, so.
Yeah.
I can go get it if I need it.
It's true. But yeah, that's cool. I love the idea of a hobby that like facilitates more socialization.
Yeah.
Cause I really love that. I really love people. And I think that's part of actually not wanting to be that famous is like, I love meeting new people who like are generally just interested in like, who's this weirdo?
Yeah. You could always try extreme plastic surgery.
That's true. That sounds not painful. A whole new face.
Just get a nose job where you just like add like a huge
prosthetics.
Nose
yeah. That sounds great. What could possibly
implants,
go wrong?
Nose implants.
What about you? What are your big dreams and goals?
Oh, wow. I think, you know, it's also been a little bit of a pulling back this year. I mean, I have like a whole like list of dreams and goals. But the main thing is like, what does that thing make you feel? You know? And I think, so for me, it's creating that feeling every day. And so it's the little details. It's like getting up and getting my exercise in most of the time, doing my journaling every day, practicing mindfulness so that I can feel like the person that I want to feel like. And then, because I don't have control over so much of the other stuff, I would love this. Like, I mean, I have specific goals, like the podcast, it would be really great to grow. But now we've been at this 3 years and it's like, I definitely thought we would have grown more by this point. A lot of people see the shorts and they're like, I love your show. And I'm like, have you listened to a full episode? They're like, no. Or like 3 years later, somebody be like, the show's amazing. I just heard it. I just sat down and listened. I'm like, yeah, we've been doing this for 3 years. But it's still.
But that's the beauty of it existing online is you don't, yeah. I mean, talk about like not having a say. You don't have a say in when people find it.
That's true. That's true. And there's only.
Surrender.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there's this idea that we need more, we want more. And it's like, if we learn to actually want exactly the thing we already have, it doesn't mean that we're never going to grow. But the joy, the gratitude helps you connect with your heart and figure out what direction you really want to head in. It's like steering by starlight, you know?
Ooh, beautifully said.
That's a Martha Beck book. I don't know if that's from the book.
I love Martha Beck.
Do you? She's so good, right?
I have to say, love what I've heard of her on podcasts, and I've never read a single book of hers.
I've read 2 of her books, but she's got a new one out. Yeah, I mean, her story's just so powerful. But Steering by Starlight, I read years ago, and I just, a lot of those, she'd be like a good person to take a workshop with. Googling Martha Beck workshops. You know, it is interesting to think of like expanding like the, because it's been animation and video games on the show, but like, and we should talk about Squirrel Girl and kind of obviously God of War. We can talk about that as well, but we're also talking about so many other great things.
Yeah, I'm down.
But, you know, expanding the format to include just interesting people, you know? The Wonderland doesn't have to just be limited to animation and games, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that seems like the beauty of having a podcast is it's an opportunity to talk to anyone you want to talk to. Yeah. Hey, can I talk to you for an hour? Can I just ask you questions for an hour? Oh, what a superpower.
By the way, come to my house. See, if you were here today, unfortunately, but this is great too. But if you were here today, I would be serving you tea. But since you're not here, I'm just drinking water.
I'm drinking a Zevia. What? Sponsor me.
What?
A Zevia is a stevia sweetened soda.
Oh my God.
It's nice because it doesn't have too much artificial shit. I don't know exactly what's in it, but.
I made my own creamer this week.
That sounds disgusting, Allison. How dare you?
Ugh. Pumpkin spice creamer.
Wait, how did you do that? Out of what?
Okay, it's milk, cream, like heavy whipping cream. I don't know if you have dairy or not.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Pumpkin spice, pumpkin puree, and I just put in a little bit of stevia. And man, that shit's so good.
Ooh, it hits. Looks like it really so good. It hits. Slaps.
It doesn't, like, I brought it to my son's school today because they had a coffee thing, and I was like, I brought my own creamer in a little jug, and I thought I would share it, but it looks pretty gross. Had this like old turkey chili jar and then was just going out to people like, you want to try my creamer?
I made my own creamer.
But I highly recommend.
I creamed it myself.
My cow, Bessie. why bother with the cow? I've been milking myself for 3 years.
Luckily, it all came out right in time for the pumpkin spice season.
Woo! So, how has being a mom changed everything?
I mean, that's just it. It's changed everything. Now that my kid's a little bit older, I feel like there's some things that have resumed to pre-baby. He's 2.5. It's so sweet. It's so fun. It's so cute. It's so funny. And it's also like, you know, challenging and time consuming and all the other things. So I think like, you know, the priority shift, the relationship to work shifts. I mean, I honestly like list any element of my life and it is different. My relationship to my health is different. My relationship to my body, my relationship to my relationship, like you name it, it's different. But I think really cool, like as hard as it is, I'm really enjoying motherhood. I love myself as a mom. I love my son, like as a personality, like I like who he is and I enjoy his company. I love being the thing that can make him feel better. Like I love being his mom. You know, there's like, and you know, this happens when they're very little, but even right now he's like a little sick and I love like being like, you know, what's going to make you feel better is a hug from me. Is like, you can nap on my chest and that's going to make you feel better. And he means the world to me, of course. And so being able to comfort the thing that means the world to you is such a powerful feeling. And then, you know, and then I'm also not talking about all of the things that are incredibly challenging about it. So it's all the things.
It's like really shifts your identity and how you feel about yourself as an artist too, I found. But mm-hmm. It does come back. And then I feel now that my son's 7, almost 8, I feel like it's like a superpower to just keep going with your art and like keep going with the parenting and just be like, you two are going to get along and then make art with your kid. And but 2.5, that was a tough time.
And you get to model it. Like, that's one of the things I was just thinking about. Like, we were talking about hobbies. Like, I really miss painting. It was a big part of my life for a while. And I have this office that's like separate from my house. And, you know, thinking about where I'm going to set up a place for me to do art. And I was like, no, I really want to do art in the house. So that my son sees me doing it all the time. I want to model life balance. I want to model art. I want to model hobbies. I want to, even if, you know, I'm not so great at them. Like I want, and I think about that with work. Like I want to model loving what you do. And so you're right. There is like a superpower to continuing to do the art. But it also feels like an important thing to do for your kid to see you doing it.
Yeah. Even though they'll probably want to do the exact opposite thing.
Hopefully. Yeah. Although my kid's like a little bit of a thespian, I think already. Has yours shown any signs of being interested?
He's been doing some VO stuff.
Cute.
He's on the Baby Shark on Nickelodeon. Like he's just, as a kid, you were a kid actor, right? It's just like, it kind of like, there's just a lot less competition, I think, for the little one. So he's gotten really lucky, but he's still like, he's like, I want to be an inventor. That's like his passion. He gets out the glue stick and the cardboard, and then he's just like making these crazy things. And I'm like, wow, that's, you know, not my zone of genius, but it's so cool to watch him try and figure it out and be like, oh, how can I support what he wants to do?
That's your zone of genius.
Library.
Though. But that is your zone of genius, is being the support. Mm-hmm. You are like so good at yes anding.
I love the library. I love taking him to the library and being like, okay, let's, you know, let's go look at all these inventing books. What looks cool? Kids are so fun.
Yeah.
But it's hard. Yeah. I mean, it would be irresponsible to, although it's like neither of them are here. So it's like, as soon as they start to go away, it's like you start to miss them more and more and more.
It's true. I saw a TikTok like that where it was like a dad on a couch watching videos of his, I don't remember, daughter or son. He's like, oh, flipping through the photos. Oh. And then the second the kid comes in, he's like, oh. And it's so true. I love looking through photos because they're only photos of the best times. I know. Yeah. But I do miss him. I miss him all the time. Like the second I'm away from him, I miss him because I just love his little body and the way his head smells. And I love it all.
The cheeks. Well, I mean, we could just chat forever.
We can do motherhood. With motherhood is a whole other podcast.
Yeah. Motherhood is a whole nother podcast. Before we, you know, I did want to chat kind of a little bit about Squirrel Girl. We've been in a couple different Marvel Rising and then some shorts, a podcast. Can you tell us about Squirrel Girl? And is there any new news?
I have no new news on Squirrel Girl. If there is something brewing, I would love to know. I love being Squirrel Girl because she's incredibly optimistic and strong. And especially in the podcast, I feel like she, you know, she had so much time to develop, and I had so much time to get to know her, and she really is about like justice in a great way. she's not just like, let's call the cops and lock this guy up. She's like, let's work on this together. Let's be better together. And I really like, I just love that as a force for good for kids to see. And she's just innately girl power. She's got great female friends. And that the way it came about for me with Squirrel Girl was that I auditioned to play her in the live action series, which we did a pilot of, and then, you know, like many things in this industry, didn't end up happening. But then they asked me to come in and just do the voice, which is a dream. And she doesn't sound too unlike me. And yeah, just a joy, just like, you know, eat nuts, kick butts. And then the video games and all the things that have come after that are just so cool. Yeah, I love her. And then Ryan North, the guy let's whatever the version is, whatever happens next with her, I would love to be a part of it. She's cool.
Yeah. And what about God of War Ragnarok?
Oh, well, they just called me. I didn't audition for that. They just called me to do it. And oh, wait, actually, that's not true. I auditioned for a different character. This was early pandemic, like March or April. I auditioned for a totally different character and didn't hear anything back for a good year at least. And probably more. And then, came back. And I will say that with both the Squirrel Girl podcast and God of War, I was nursing at the time. And both productions were so cool about it. Like, I know it's the law, but like, it was just so cool to have them like work it into the schedule and be like, oh, you know, look at that. It's 11 o'clock. So now you can go and take your break. And I'm like, oh, thank you. And they just like, you know, had like areas for me to do that. And I just, Squirrel Girl, I did at home, which was also really amazing. And they send you, you know, the whole kit and caboodle, but also great Burning Man name. This is Kit. I'm Caboodle. but I thought those were like such great subtle acts of feminism. And then that character in God of War was just so unlike anything I've played. She's like, you know, a southerner who has a heart of gold and really believes in her tribe, really believes in her people. I loved her.
Amazing.
Don't you feel that way too? Like when you play people, don't you just fall in love with them?
Yes. And then they're always like, which is your favorite character? It's like, that's why I only have one kid.
I can't pick.
They all have things that I love about. So, and there's so much to love about you.
Aww.
Does it look like I hurt? Yeah, kind of. They did.
Yeah. You got to use your thumbs.
I tried to give myself a manicure today and it looks like it was.
It looks like Hanukkah nails.
Yay.
Or like snowman nails.
We're going into November like, woo, woo. Light the candles of freedom.
I have I have an AT&T blue French tip.
Blue French tip?
It's like a slightly light blue French tip.
Oh, that's pretty. Is that for the show, or is that
I did it for a shoot, yeah. And I
they do it for you?
Yeah, they have a woman named Zola who comes to set and does it for me, and she's the best. She's literally like the best in the world.
Dude, that's amazing.
It's great. Yeah.
Well, I know you have a little one to get back to that's not feeling so great. So
no,
we'll let you get back to it. But it's been lovely chatting with you and getting to spend some time with you. And I look forward to the next time.
To some IRL FaceTime.
IRL. Oh, yeah. That is the right way.
What's this?
Right?
Does this mean IRL?
It was like, it could be. It means I love you, right?
Yeah, I love
In
you
In real
too.
Life, I love you.
See you soon. Thank you for
having
me.
See you next time, Lynn. Bye. And everybody, we'll see you next time for Allison's Wonderland. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Allison's Wonderland, where we explore the wild and wonderful world of animation and video games. Please remember to subscribe and leave us a review. For more episodes of Allison's Wonderland, please visit us at www.allisonpackard.com. See you next week.